talking today about the mountains that we come across in our lives. And our title today, which I decided to put together, was Keep Calm and Carry On Climbing. Keep Calm and Carry On Climbing. And I want to say at the outset, before we go to one scripture, our first scripture, that I don't mean this in any glib way, believe me, because I know throughout this past year, so it's a look back at the past year very briefly, but a projection into the new year. I know this past year has been mountainous, a mountainous journey for many, and there's some difficult times. So I just wanted to clear that up, especially with the prayer and the news that most of us heard for the first thing this morning about our dear brother in hospital. There are mountains that we all have to traverse, and we're going to look at that today. First, I'd like you to go in your Bibles with me to one scripture we know very well, but it's good to read it together. If you go to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read one verse, and I want this to be a banner over where we're going today. So we'll be real quick and go to Romans chapter 8 and say this scripture. Most of us know this anyway, but it's a scripture we're all familiar with, and it's in verse 37 of Romans chapter 8. And I think it'd be all good if we all, now it doesn't matter what translation we're reading, but as a family, I think it'd be good for us today to say this all together. We know what it is, okay? Verse 37, we know the scripture, so let's say it all together. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. Yet through all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Let's make that our proclamation today as we go forward. Brief word of prayer before we go on. Join with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit presence in this wonderful, loving family here today. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of sharing your word. Lord, I ask you to take every inadequacy of my language away, and Lord, that your word only is shown. Lord, it can't come of the flesh, it can only come of you. Holy Spirit, have your way amongst this time, in each and every individual here, each and every individual listening at a later date, Lord. Anoint your word, Lord. Take everything away that is not of you and burn it up. But Lord, have your way in your word and touch everyone at their point of felt need today with your word. Encourage us, edify us, build us up, Lord, in your precious name, Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I had this word given me by the Lord. The first Sunday of this year, I had the great privilege of sharing the word, and now we're here at the last Sunday of the year. How's the journey been? How's the journey been? It's been good, bad. It's been pretty mountainous, hasn't it? For a lot of people I know, a lot of people listening. You're listening to this now and you're thinking, yeah, I've had some mountains this year. Yeah, but you know what? We're told in Scripture, and we know where it is, and we're going to be touching on that in a moment, that mountains as obstacle in our lives, we can remove through faith, through our seed faith. Amen? Amen. But you know what? We're called in Scripture to actually climb some mountains. Amen? We're called to climb. Yeah? We're climbers. So we need to keep calm and carry on climbing. It was so nice to hear that, Margaret, I'm so blessed that, we don't want it to be your last Sunday, Margaret, but I'm so blessed that I'm speaking on your last Sunday. But you're such a speaker, you can come back and give the word. I didn't know. That little testimony there that Margaret shared with us, yes, there were some tough mountains in there. And we all have testimonies like this. We could all say this. Some families are going right through some difficult mountainous regions now. We heard of good times, bad times. In that 15-year stretch that our sister has been with us, we heard of mountains that were tough. Things happened. You know, we're called as believers to climb some mountains. You know, the journey's not easy sometimes. Okay, we're called in God's word to climb. And I want to just visit a little bit of this today and then conclude it with a reflection from the New Testament on this today. So we're going to visit some, and I'm going to bring out a few things, and I pray that it's a word in season for us, and we're built up by it. You know, you remember and if you're listening and you're not familiar with the Bible, I really encourage you to just look up. There's so many devices now, you can quickly flick onto the Bible and you can just check these stories out. They're so rich and lovely, and it will tie things up. We remember the journey of Noah in Genesis 8 and about all the flood. I haven't got time to go into that now. We're familiar with it somewhat. Genesis 8, we're told that on the 17th day, we're talking about the ark now, on the 17th day of the 7th month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. Mountains of Ararat. Mountains, plural, because it's actually not one mountain. It's, as we know, it's a mountain range. So we have the picture of, after the flood, the ark would be, as the water receded, the ark would just rest in a crevice. Some, the ark would break off points of rock, and it would sit there, and it would rest there on that mountain range. Mountain Ararat is a place we're taken to, and it's a place in our lives of refuge and a place of hope. Be encouraged today. Mount Ararat is one we're called to go to and be taken to, and it's a place of refuge and hope. Think of Noah at that time. You may recognize this has been a little bit like your past year. Think of Noah at that time. He seemed lost at sea, didn't he? There seemed to be no end of that journey. Let's not forget that Noah and his family were shut up in that ark for about a year. But for 5 months, he was at sea. And that, what must have been a huge ark, and it was, we know, if we look at the dimensions, was bobbing about like a cork in that vast sea for 5 months. Seemed lost at sea. This past year, have you seemed a bit lost at sea? I'm sure we can all relate to that. You know, what happens is, for us, and it happened for Noah, Noah's obedience brought him to a place of isolation. Amen? You know what I'm saying? Noah's obedience brought him to a place of isolation. Not his obedience got him to a place on his own. You know, it's interesting that we can be surrounded by people, and as Noah was, surrounded by animals as well. But he was on his own. He could have been so lonely right there, drifting. And he may have felt forgotten. Have you felt forgotten this past year? As the things tried to overwhelm you, like a sea, like the flood, have you felt forgotten? I think we all feel these things sometimes. Have you felt forgotten? Let's remember also that God did not inform Noah how long it was going to be. He was just going on from day to day. And it's like us, we go on from day to day. Our obedience puts us in that place. And all he had to hold on to was the promise. All he had to hold on to was the promise, okay? But we see in Scripture, Genesis 8 and 1, we see that God, what did God do? God remembered Noah. God remembered Noah. You see, God doesn't forget to remember. God is faithful. At times, you've gone through this year and you've thought, what's happening? I'm being obedient, Lord. Nothing's happening. We've all been there. But you know what? Hold on, because God is going to get you to that place of refuge, and he'll do it. And it's a place of refuge and preservation, and he hasn't forgotten you. He has not forgotten you. So hold on, hold on. It's as well to remember also that we're talking about the mountain we have to climb, but Noah and his family didn't have to climb this mountain, did they? They were taken there. They were taken there. You know, this place of safety and preservation. God, we don't climb that one. God takes us there under his provision. But you know what we have to do? We at some stage have to come out of our ark, and we have to come down. And we have to come down to ground zero. It's a place of preservation. What I found interesting about this as well, that I've not really thought about before, and that's the wonderful thing about Scripture, is God shut Noah in that, he shut the door on Noah and his family in that ark, and it was only God who opened it. Amen? When God shuts a door, it's only God who opens it again. But he's faithful, and he will open that door. You're looking now at a shut door, maybe, and you're thinking, oh, I've been obedient, Lord. I'm asking questions. Lord, what's happening? But God's going to open that door. And that's not an age requirement thing today, as in society. He's going to open that door. Amen? He'll open that door. That place of Ararat is a place of preservation and hope. Now, we're getting the boots on. We're getting the climbing boots on. In Genesis 22 and 2, you remember, we know where this is going now. God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Amen. And we know, of course, that mountain that we're called to climb, that mountain of Moriah, is a metaphor for mountain of sacrifice. Yeah. Sacrifice. This is where we take all that is dear to us, all that we love. We take our dreams, our visions, our plans. We take our finances. We take our time. This is sacrifice. And this is the mountain that we're called to climb. And we're called to climb it as we go forward into the new year. The mountain of sacrifice. Mountain of Moriah, of course, we know. And I implore you to read up on this. If you're listening and you don't know this, it's a great account. You know what happened there. The mountains of Moriah also, as we know, were a projection into where Calvary was. But this was a picture from God of Jesus actually going to Calvary for us. In this account of going to the mountain of obedience, we notice, of course, when God spoke to Abraham, we noticed that it wasn't up for debate, was it? We don't like this part. I've found out that when I try to debate with God, right, the climb becomes harder. Okay, the climb becomes harder. It wasn't up for debate. God didn't reveal his plan to Abraham for Abraham to go away and consider it and pray about it. You know, I've caught myself saying sometimes, and we get a little bit into Christianese, don't we, when we're a believer. You know, and when there's a time of obedience, and I'll put my hand up to this, first of all, hands, we get into it, and when we're told something, we say, yeah, I'm going to have to go away and pray about that. Or I really need peace about that. I've caught myself, I've seen some smiles here. I go away, I've got to have peace about that. You know, this wasn't a situation where Abraham was to go away, pray about, wait till he woke up the next morning and he saw angels dancing on his duvet and then it was going to be okay for him. No. The fact is that this was obedience. And the fact is that we know so well, and you're sitting here today and listening also, you know this far more than me because you've sacrificed more in your lives. You know this. Sacrifice costs us something. It costs us something. That's why I haven't got time to exegete all this, but if you look into the projection of Moriah, it becomes a story of Jesus' mission. It costs us something. Somebody once said that there are three types of giving, three types of sacrifice, okay? Now, flint gives when it's struck, doesn't it? Flint gives when it's struck. A sponge gives when it's squeezed, doesn't it? But a flower gives freely. It gives its perfume, it gives its beautiful color freely. You know, this is about sacrifice. You know, when we look at this, and those listening, maybe you're new to the Bible, you're reading this and you're thinking, Abraham was told to sacrifice his son, and we've all come to this place, and maybe it was the first time we got to this scripture. We try to work it out with our minds. You know, God doesn't want us necessarily to work things out, because we can't work him out with our puny intellect. What he wants here is obedience. It's the obedience. Yes, there is understanding, but you know what God will do? God will offend the mind to get to the heart. He will offend the mind to get to the heart. It's his filtration process. But if you press in, if you bypass that and just understand the call to obedience, we all must, and we're all called to, we understand it, because what's happening here, summed up, is God was actually jealous for the man, not what the man could do. And that's how he is with all of us. God is jealous. He wants our heart. He wants what's going on in our heart, not what we can do for him. We can't impress him by what we can do. We know that. He was jealous for the man, not for what he could do. God will offend the mind to get to the heart. That's a mountain we need to climb, mountain of sacrifice. And again, I don't say that glibly, because Holy Spirit, I don't know for sure, but the Holy Spirit has given me the discernment, and I sense, not only in this room, but further shed abroad on the global scene, the sacrifice of the saints. I have no knowledge of, but it stands that we are called to it. And we, in this new year, we are still called to it. This mountain is a mountain we still need to climb. In Deuteronomy, we have another account, maybe a mountain that we're not too familiar one. This is Deuteronomy 3:27 says to us, go up to the top of Pisgah, Mount Pisgah, and look west and north and south and east. Look at the land with your own eyes. And of course, many of you recognize this is to do with Moses. Now, this Mount Pisgah was Moses, that Moses was commanded to go up and look at. This is the mountain of dreams, visions, and revelation. Dreams, visions, and revelations. You know what? This mountain enabled Moses to see the vision of the inheritance for God's people. He was able to see it. You know, for many years for Israel, the people of Israel, the promised land, the promises, the land flowing with milk and honey was just around the corner. It was just around the corner. It was going to happen. But at this time, when God commanded Moses to get up this mountain, the mountain of vision and revelation, it wasn't just around the corner anymore. It was going to happen. It was time. It was going to happen. And what God does here on this mountain when we climb it, he makes it personal. He says, what do you see? What do you see? Not what somebody else sees. What do you see? Moses was up there and he was able to see all this. Are you beginning the new year and are you going to be saying, well, I don't know, you know, my visions, my dreams, what I want to do, it's just around the corner. It's just around the corner. Yeah, I'm going to see how the year goes first and then we'll get into it. Maybe next year. Maybe next year. You know, like a hapless Dell boy who turns to Rodney and said, this time next year, Rodney, we'll be millionaires. Yeah. Is it going to be just around the corner as we start this year? Or are we going to take possession? Take possession of what God's got for us in his vision. Are we going to go up this mountain? Are we going to look? Are we going to give what it takes to get up this mountain and look what he's got us? You know, somebody's listening here and you're a businessman or businesswoman. And you know God's speaking to you. And you know you were at college or at university. And you had that great God-given innovation. You had a product that you were going to do. You were going to advance. You were going to work with. And you were going to sell. You finished your study. You went into the business realm. And it got tough. Your finances got tough. And you know what? Your enthusiasm has gone. Your vision's gone. Now you can't even be bothered to open up your office on a Monday morning. Now on a Monday morning, you can't even have the effort to go to your shop and open up. You know what? You need your vision back. You need to go up this mountain. You don't need an upturn in the financial system. You don't need a new business partner. What you need is godly vision. You need godly vision to get up this mountain, and you need the godly vision, and you need Jesus in your life to open up the potential that is locked in you. That's what you need. It's not going to be just around the corner. This is the only way you can do it. The Lord's talking to someone here, businessman or businesswoman. You need the Lord Jesus. You need to go back to your roots and see your vision. I come into contact with a lot of students this month, and I was witnessing to them in what I was doing. And, you know, students, you may be listening now. Well, I hope you are, because I've invited you to listen to this at a later stage, if you're not here already. You know, you've started your course back in September, you know, at your university, wherever it may be, and you had a great time. You started your freshers week, or it's a freshers month now, I think they do. You had a great time, but then you started getting down to your studies, and the work started happening, and then you started thinking, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? You're studying something you don't really want. You're going, you don't know where you're going to get to at the end of your studies. Right, you need to change your situation. You need to get up this mountain and get godly vision for your life, not just do a course for the sake of the course, because that potential in you is not going to get unlocked. You need to change your course. Maybe you need to change your university or your college. But you need to do something. Student, the Lord's talking to you. You need to have that potential unlocked in you, and you need to do something about it. You need to get up this mountain. It's so nice today, the Holy Spirit's just wants me to share. It's so nice that the families have stayed in today, and I'm so warmed and I'm so blessed that children here, I remember being prayed for a year ago on the first Sunday of this year, and they're still here now. Praise God. Praise the Lord for that. I'm so blessed of families, you know, mothers and fathers, grandparents, great-grandparents. You know, today, it's not easy, is it? That's a mountainous journey, isn't it? Bringing up a family. That's a mountainous journey. No two ways about it. You know, but you know what? You're leaders. You're called to be leaders in your family. What's the vision for your children? What's happening? Where are you going? You've got to get up this mountain and get so. You know, children are so dear to God, so dear to His heart, as we know. You know, they are the future. But you know what? The parents. God's just given me this now. The parents, grandparents, great grandparents. You know, you've got gifts in you that are laying dormant that need to come out and fill these young people with. You need to get involved. You need to, more. I'm not saying you're not. This is not an easy thing to say because it is difficult. But as a family here today, I say we've got to look to our children and what we're doing. Grandparents, when the children are in your care, what are you allowing in their eye gate and their ear gate? What are you allowing them? I see children and young people pass me all the day and my heart breaks. What are you allowing in their system? Is it godly? Bringing children up today in the teaching and admonition of the Lord is one of the biggest mountains that you, as parents and family, are called to climb. We're called to climb it as a fellowship. We're called to climb it here as a family, as a mishbuka here today. We're called to climb it. You know, Hebrews 11:32, you remember, says, and the writer here, I'll encapsulate it, the writer of Hebrews is not hasn't got time to talk about all the heroes of faith. Hasn't got time to talk about it. So the writer says, all these heroes of faith, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Did we hear that? We go up this Mount Pisgah where we see our vision and revelation. We have it. It's past tense. It's given to us. But we've got to come down that mountain. We've got to gain what has been promised. You know, the nation of Israel, the Israelites, when Moses was given that vision, they had to go out then and they had to fight for it. They had to gain it. It's a kind of paradox, something promised to us, but we still have to gain. We have to gain it. And in this new year, we're going to have to gain what we have been promised. We're going to have to do that. We had to fight for it. On this mountain, Pisgah, God reveals to us what is ours, but the responsibility is ours to go and gain it. Amen? We got to gain it. You see, it's sometimes we just want to stay up the mountain. Who wants to do that? It's nice up there, isn't it? But you know, we've got to come down the mountain and gain what's promised. We've got to take possession of our possessions. Amen? We've got to gain it. And I'm sure Pastor Trevor in the new year is going to unfold a godly vision of what we have for us, where we each and every one of us has a part to play in it. We take possession. Now, these, as I said, are the mountains we're called to climb, and there are far more of the mountains to climb in Scripture. But just briefly, I just want to draw this to conclusion by looking at a New Testament example, because I want to really ground this, if you excuse the pun, I want to ground it, and I want to get really relevant and to apply this to our lives. So in your Bibles, if you could go with me, please, to Matthew chapter 17, that would be good, real quick, and then I'm going to pray. I know the time's going on. You see, while you're going there, there are mountains we're called to climb, okay? But it's important that we need to know we've got to come down from the mountains. But knowing what the mountaintop experience was for, amen? We've got to know what that experience up there was for to bring it down, okay? So I just want to share with you this last bit. What I'm going to do, actually, very quickly, I'm just going to do a quick three-point sermon very quickly, and we're just going to have some points to apply here. Matthew 17, and I just want to read the account from verse 14. And it's to do with the Mount of Transfiguration. So everybody there in the Bibles, or you can just listen, that's okay. At Matthew 17, verse 14 then, I'm reading from the New King James. It's okay if I was NIV earlier, but I wanted to bring out something here. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down and saying, he's coming to the Lord here, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. He often falls into fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, And it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Amen. When Jesus Christ's disciples came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, they were faced with this, I don't know what's said in the version you're reading, but it's called epileptic boy. It wasn't epileptic, that's just a word we know now. The original word used is actually, they use moonstruck. Moonstruck. We don't use that word now. The word also associated with this, thankfully we don't use now, was called lunatic. Luna, doing with the moon, and thick. So a pagan thing about the movement of the moon or something. It was none other, actually, and he was demon-possessed. This guy had a curse from the enemy on him, this little boy, and it was a mocking curse because this boy was thrown in one element and in the opposite element, water and fire. That's what was going on here. His dad, when they came from this mountain, after that experience of the Mount of Transfiguration, please visit it if you're not aware of it. When they came down from that wonderful experience with Jesus and all the disciples, his dad, this boy's dad, went to the disciples and they couldn't do it. First point then, very quickly, wheels are down, we're coming into a landing soon, I'm going to pray. This is the first point. Mountaintop experiences are to equip us for our next encounter with the enemy. Amen? That's what they're for. They're equipping to encounter with the enemy. See, the enemy would love us starting to go up these mountains that we're called to climb in Scripture, and he'd love us going round and round the mountain, you know? He'd love us going round there, wasting our time, right? Because, you see, movement is not progress, and the devil likes that. So we need to understand what mountaintop experiences are for. We come down there for the next encounter with the enemy. The disciples didn't understand, and they were not prepared for the challenge ahead. Second point. We're called to minister, and that's each and every one of us. We are called to minister to people who keep falling into situations that hurt them. That's what this tells us. That's each and every one of our calling. You know what? And it's going to take more than personality. It's going to take more than religious platitudes to set these people free. That's what we need to apply. Jesus Christ's disciples were powerless because they were prayerless. It's going to take more. Jesus said it in verse 21. Verse 21 of 17. He said, "However, this kind does not go out except for prayer and fasting." Okay? Prayer and fasting. That means preparation. Amen. Moving on. So what does that say? We're at the peak of going into a new year. New challenges. They're the same mountains, but new in a way we have to climb. What we have to go to these mountains, because if we keep doing the same old, we are just going to get the same old results. So we need to go forward. The enemy likes us going round in circles. We must rise above the attitudes around us. Jesus Christ confronted the core problem then, and which is the core problem now, and it's in verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, here it is, "O faithless and perverse generation," and he said at this time, "how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring the child to me." We are fighting, and it's a battle, we are fighting the faithlessness of a generation molded by secular media and godless values. That's the fight for our little ones. If we let it, it will pull us down and it will wear us out. But, I conclude with this, but we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the encouragement, the edification, but also for the challenge of your word. We know, Lord, there's mountains before us in this new year. We know, Lord, we have to climb some. We know, Lord, by your grace, there's some you'll deposit us on the top of as a refuge. We know the mountain of sacrifice that's before us, Lord. We know the mountain of vision and revelation that we must go up. But, Lord, we know we've got to come back down and be equipped and ready to take the fight to the enemy. We thank you, Lord, that we indeed know today that we are blessed, that we are more than conquerors. And only, Lord, we're only that because you loved us. You sacrificed yourself on that tree. You bore our sins and you saved us. Lord, we recognize that we're not our own. We're bought with a price. We thank you, Lord. Continue with us, Lord, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit throughout this further time. Give us what we need, Lord, as we encounter the battle, as we hang on and we go forward up these mountains and come down with the revelation to encounter the enemy, but also to grow your kingdom, to bring our young ones to full maturity. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing of your word. Bless it to us, Lord, that it bear fruit that will last. And we thank you, Lord, in your name, Jesus. Amen.